You're listening to Mission Lab.
Mission Lab.
From our living human,
Bengal Maine.
Here's our parents,
Sean and Camille Brace.
Hello, everybody. This is Mission Lab. I am coming to you from Down Under in Australia, Brisbane, Australia, roughly. We're not right in Brisbane, I understand, but I'm here speaking at a camp, and we're here in my messy room where I'm staying with two really cool dudes that I've gotten to know, and I guess hopefully they'll clean it up for me afterwards. But we're recording just on my iPhone, so we're going to kind of pass it around so the recording quality won't be the greatest, but that'll be more authentic anyway. Like we're really like
organic
and authentic. That's right. That's right. Organic. We're all about organic. So I'm going to have these two brothers introduce themselves. We've already tried this once. It didn't work. So we're trying again. So they're going to introduce themselves again. So we're going to start with Francis.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself, Francis. Yes.
Hi, my name is Francis. I am married to Jennifer. We have four kids, Orlando, Faith, Darius, and Bronte. I'm currently the pastor of Life Switch Community Church. It's a new church plant, a year and a half old, based in Ipswich, in a little suburb called Goodna. We were trying to engage a missional community, engaging the lower socioeconomic people group. So that's our mission.
Sweet. Cool. And this young man.
Hey, my name is Lachlan, and I'm married to Kathy. And we're church planters that had been working with Francis and Jennifer at Life Switch Community. We helped launch that church with them. But we've now just been reassigned to church plant, which is a tough job on the Sunshine Coast. So we live right in the middle of southeast Queensland in Australia, right on the beach. And we've got the set with the task of it. Connecting and engaging with some missional communities, with our surfers, with our skaters, with that subculture right up along our beach coastline here in Queensland. So that's our job. It's a tough gig, but we'll take it.
Sweet. Now, I have to admit to you, brothers, that basically the only reason I want you on the podcast is because I love your accent. Is that all right?
I think you love Lachlan's. I'm more of a New Zealand accent.
Yeah, you're actually from New Zealand. You're a Kiwi originally. Yeah. No, but you guys, you know, us Americans can't tell your accents apart. So, yeah. So anyway, let's cut to the chase, fellas. I want to go back. We were talking before. You were kind of just doing traditional pastoring. Well, at least you were expressing that, Lachlan. There came a time where you kind of said, this isn't what I want to do. Tell me about that mindset, that thought process, and you know, why you wanted to go more missional in your thinking. Mm-hmm. Both of you can share, but I know you were talking before, Lachlan, about
that. It's been a pretty cool experience. I came out of, I graduated from Avondale College in 2013, I came up here and I started working with Francis as an associate pastor. And it, you know, I'd come from a fairly evangelistic home. My parents are highly engaged in mission as a family, doing regular mission trips, local community service type of stuff. I'd volunteered at summer camps in Big Lake, and I'd done a rise. I'd done a number of evangelistic things, and mission was always a real key part of why I wanted to do ministry. Then I just found myself as in my first 2 years of ministry, just sitting there going, why am I returning emails? Like, why am I dealing with some grumpy church members? And so this type of
they're
mindset.
They're not listening, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't think they listen to this, but I might be out of a job. But it's just the whole a pastor, there was so much more to pastoral ministry than what met the eye. And what drew me in, I suddenly found, and what was my passion was just being overwhelmed by. Just needs that just probably weren't necessary. Things that I thought was drawn into doing. And I guess I found myself doing things that other people could have been doing. And I was like, why am I doing this? Yeah. They could be doing this.
Yeah.
And so it didn't take me long, probably about 12 to 18 months, or I even said to Francis, man, I'm sick of doing normal church like this. If this is normal church, and I'm not going to have a long career. Yeah, yeah. I don't know about you, because you've been in a lot longer than me, Francis. Yeah, but
because you're a lot, you're old.
I am. Friends. I've got a grey beard. I'm very old. But I graduated from Avondale College in 2001. So 2002, my first appointment was to head down in Tasmania, a little island just off Victoria. Beautiful place, beautiful people. But I think in my third and fourth year in Launceston, we had an opportunity to create a missional community. Mm-hmm. And it was there that sort of sparked, hey, this is something that I'm really keen on pursuing. Mm-hmm. You know, really engaging with the unchurched people and just be mission-driven. Mm-hmm. The church plant didn't really, it was sort of like an afternoon program. It didn't really go anywhere. But that experience, that time, my wife and I, what we took away from Tassie is that this is something that, hey, that I'm willing to give my life for, you know, just really connecting with people and sharing Jesus. And so every year since we came here to Queensland, and I've been here for almost 9 years, you know, every year I would say, hey, I'd love to church plant. And so the opportunity just opened up, and just haven't looked back.
Yeah. So you guys were telling me before that you kind of just made a decision on your own and said, hey, we're just going to do this. Yeah. And so you started meeting on Friday nights with just a handful of people. Yeah. And tell me what the thought process was, who you identified, and how you had to form your approach based upon the people you're trying to reach.
Yeah, we just started to sense an opportunity in our ministry setting where we had a fairly well-established church of around 280 people that we looked after. We both were chaplains at our local Adventist school that was right next door with about 100 kids, and we had two other small little, quite conservative and traditional little country churches. But within that, we had a community. Our actual city was going to double in size within 5 years, so there was considerable growth within our community, and we looked at that and we thought, we can't ignore the opportunity. Like, the statistics show that new communities are so much more open to faith and community within churches and stuff like that. So we thought it's worth giving it a crack. So we just had conversations. We called them kingdom conversations, where we'd go and talk to some people that we sort of had holy discontentment. They were sitting in a pew, frustrated, burning up. They wanted to do something big for God. They just didn't know where to start. We preached maybe a sermon or two on it, but we went and we would approach these people, and we just thought, come join us on a journey. We'll do something big for God. And so that led us to taking a group of people. Actually, before we even met into a home, we had an opportunity to go to a church planters gathering, and we took a number of our team down.
Yeah,
awesome. And I remember sitting there with a couple of who are now our core leaders of our team, and sitting there, and they had just sitting there venting about their current church and all the problems that it's got and how it's not like these ones that they're talking about. And look at these churches, they're doing this, and we're not doing this at our current church. And I remember just seeing the penny drop on the Sunday morning after a whole weekend of this. And I said, yeah, we're not trying to change our current church. We have an opportunity to start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that penny dropped for a couple of our core leaders. Yeah. Oh, we don't have to carry that baggage across. And so we spent probably, 12 months in Francis and Jen's home, just doing life together, probably about 8 to 10 of us.
Yeah.
We had people come and go through that time, but in that process we'd eat food together, do life together, and really just break down what is mission, what does it mean to follow Jesus? We call that discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a part of church, thing God has set aside.
Yeah.
What does that look like? It's not a building. It's people unified by God's story. So we're looking at those type of aspects, and we did that for a couple of months, and then we started to get itchy feet, didn't we, Francis? We wanted to do something. Tell us about our prayer that we were talking about, where to launch our church from.
Yeah, so we basically prayed and said, Lord, lead us to an area or where we need to start this missional community. And somehow God did not lead us to an area, a geography, but it led us to a people group.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, it just happened to be the the next suburb over from where we live, Collingwood Park. So a place called Goodna is where we found a whole heap of, what is it?
Lower socioeconomic
type of,
immigrant community.
And that's where we felt that God was leading us to reach this people group.
Yeah. And so then how did you organize your mission around those people? I know you were saying before, as we were talking, that, you know, the reality is people in low socioeconomic situations, they can't just show up into your home and start open up to John, 4:7 or whatever. You have to cater the gospel to their level. And so, how did you approach that sort of thing?
Yeah. So basically, how we started to engage with people was basically being part of food ministries already established in the community. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking of starting up a new food bank ministry, and we think, hey, let's do this. But for some reason, we just didn't feel that that's where God needed us to be. That doesn't mean that we won't open one down the track.
Oh, you rejected
our application. Yeah, yeah. Our application got rejected, and there were just so many stops, and we just felt, wow. And I'm glad we didn't start it, because the amount of work that it takes to get that off the ground, that would have taken up most of our time, that we wouldn't have had any time for anything else. Mm. So we just started doing church or worship in the park. Mm-hmm. Being inspired by Miracle City Church with their push on serving the city, mm-hmm. we felt, hey, let's do something like that. And so we designated one Saturday, we call it Service Saturday, and we were just doing community service stuff, mm-hmm. like giving up free bottles of water. And we tried other things, but then we stuck with the water thing for about a whole year. Mm-hmm. And this year it was so successful because we were just starting to connect with people, mm-hmm. because after serving on Saturday morning, we would then invite them to a community barbecue. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we would just break out and transition into our worship time, mm-hmm. Awesome. So that was once a year last year, but this year we've just upped the ante and did it twice because it just worked for us.
Twice a month.
Okay, yeah.
The other thing we did with our leaders was, it was quite foreign to like a person like myself who's grown up as an Adventist Christian all their life, to sit down and talk to people, homeless background, people got quite rough stories. Used to go down on a Friday night and actually sit down in a food ministry while people are eating their food and just practice and just listen to their story and just communicate with them. Mm-hmm. Often we get into a mindset, sometimes a Christian mindset, is so busy about wanting to serve their needs, mm-hmm. we don't befriend them and we don't belong, we don't connect with them. And we found that there were so many Christians already there, but they were too busy behind the barbecue serving food that there was no one actually talking and sharing life with these guys.
Yeah.
And then we used to do that before we would go and meet as a core team on a Friday night. So that would help shape our conversation. For a lot of us, it was having to change the way we thought about mission again, because we had a whole different community of demographics and of needs that we've probably had never really encountered before. And our current established church wasn't engaging in that. Yeah. So it was pretty cool to be able to see that journey. And then to have those service Saturdays twice a month just was some of the best ways to spend Sabbath, just out there serving people. Mm-hmm. We had our service shirts made, we had signs, and just connect with people, and people would come across. In Australia, Saturday is a huge day for sport. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of families out playing rugby or soccer and all sorts of stuff like that. So we used to attract a lot of those families that they're not convicted on keeping any biblical Sabbath at this point, but they come across and they can do life with us and share an encouraging word and stuff like that. So,
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. So you were saying prior, Lachlan, about how, the typical mindset is you go to, like, people in need and you say, okay, let me get you in a depression seminar but you realized, again, you mentioned that a little bit ago, that you just have to slow down and interact with them as people, not objects that are going to need to go into a program, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a big shift in your understanding. Mm.
The good thing about when you put yourself out there is that Michael Frost calls it alerting people to the universal reign of God. Mm. So when you spend time with people and listen to their stories, mm-hmm. you can actually speak the gospel, the gospel of forgiveness, the gospel of restoration, mm-hmm. Just listen and how the gospel can sort of just fit in.
Yeah.
living questionable lives, you know. Yeah. So when we bless somebody, or when we, you know, do something out of, or when we eat with people, mm-hmm. you know, they see something, they say, wow, why are these people like this?
Yeah.
You know, and it's those moments that we can alert them that, hey, because we believe and we serve an awesome and mighty God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Jeff Vanderstelt, who I was just sharing with you about, the way he puts it is that we should live life in such a way that it would demand a Jesus explanation. Yeah. So yes, like living a questionable life, yeah. living a life that says, why are you doing this? Yeah. So yeah. So as the journey unfolded and developed, you had people that were leaning into, you know, faith, leaning into wanting to be a part of something. Tell us about how that process played out.
Yeah, well, we started looking at worship. We started running afternoon worship. The Lord led us to a pretty amazing facility, which was probably the last thing on our mind. But Francis's wife, Jennifer, picked up a hitchhiker. And we'd looked at all these
different... A woman? A man or a woman?
A man. Hitchhiker. African man.
Whoa.
And he was dressed in a suit, and he was trying to get to church.
Uh-huh.
And
He actually waved her down, and he goes, oh, did you need something? He goes, oh, I just needed a lift down to Goodna.
Oh,
I went, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, jump in, I'll take you.
So you said that, or your wife?
My wife.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And we looked at all these different facilities and churches and community halls just because we were like, man, we're connecting with a fair few people. It'd be nice to just have a space that we can do some ministry out of.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't necessarily just thinking worship. We looked at all these places and we were like, oh, there's nothing here. And suddenly we stumbled across, Jen drops this African brother off that she's picked up at this $2 million Salvation Army brand new, sponsored by Sony Center.
Wow.
And she's like, what's this? So she walks in there and we get application forms. And long story short, we fill out the application form and we're looking at the fees at the bottom, and it was going to cost us like $180 to $200 for like 3 hours hire in an afternoon. And we were like, oh, that's so expensive. And we're not sure if we want to commit because, you know, we're like, it's the next step. We don't want to tie ourselves down to something we can't commit to. We went and talked to the Salvation Army guy who runs it, and we shared with him our story, what we were doing, and he turns around and goes, oh, I'm a church planter too. I love this stuff. You know, I fully understand that church plants, sometimes they don't get off the ground, and I'm not going to hold you to your lease. And that is like $60 for the whole thing, sounds.
Wow.
And we were like, all right. And so here we got this amazing community centre with a cafe at the front, a playground for the side, it's a community centre.
Yeah.
And the irony is, we said to him, hey, do you guys actually have a church that worships here? And he goes, oh, my church members don't like to worship here because it's not like a church. So he has three or four different churches worshipping out of this community centre because his own members... his own people who attend his church don't like the picture of church. So there's some contrasting views there, but the Lord led us to that opportunity, and we started to think about worship, and our worship gatherings were more again organic and small group in its mindset. We stick people around tables.
Mm-hmm.
We used to eat at the end of our gatherings, and then we moved it to the start.
Mm-hmm.
In the afternoon around 3:30, people would come and we'd eat for about half an hour, 40 minutes. And everyone got a name tag, and we just connect. And food opens mouths, mouth opens conversations. So they would just be talking, and then we'd have a couple of songs with the kids, and then the kids would go to a kids' room and they'd do some kids' activities.
Mm.
We'd have a worship time around tables. So we'd break things down through looking at a gospel story and just have five or six simple questions like, do we understand what's going on? And breaking some things down. So often we add a lot to the Bible that we already know.
Mm-hmm.
We're making sure that people can really absorb what's going on. Sometimes we put the Matthew DVD on or the John DVD so people can absorb some extra context that we might understand as mature Christians that unchurched people may not get. But probably the interesting thing that links back to what we were talking about before that really got us was our testimony culture.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to do an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
And come along, and every day, every worship time, we'd open up that mic and anything to praise God for.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, we soon noticed very quickly that our unchurched people just love to praise God. Yeah. And they would like rush to the microphone and they're like, praise the Lord. And I finally got to see my kids this week. Praise the Lord. I got my my government support money, like all sorts of things. And the Adventists would just, or our Christians would just sit there still, like they didn't know what to praise God for. And our unchurch would just take over this segment and just so open with their lives and just so authentic to how God was moving. And it was so cool to see, because, I mean, we talk about living questionable lives and stepping out, but to see their ability to be open and receptive and to share the highs and the lows. And, sometimes there was some pretty heavy stuff that was shared. But, I mean, the fact that they feel safe, they can belong, like these people, these people care. They can just let it out, all out. And so that was the culture that was starting to get there. I just found it real interesting as we reflected. It was like the Christian mindset is to contain it all rather than the opposite. They just let it go. And then that's which can God work with more, the one who lets it go or the one who tries to hold it back? So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, awesome. So talk to me about your discipleship process. Like, how do you disciple people? What is you have people coming and they're leaning into fellowship and community, but how do you help them become disciples of Jesus?
So the first, so obviously if they've been coming for a while, then we sort of challenge them to take their next steps and say, hey, come be part of a life group. Now, our life groups are basically, 3 or 4 people, 5 max. It's only a small group of people that you are willing to invest in. So we're trying to have leaders and apprentice. And so the whole idea is that, you meet during the week. We didn't want to meet on Saturday because we're already doing life there. So we wanted to make sure that we just had life groups throughout the week, to just break up the our meeting time together. So we basically go through a Discover Bible reading bookmark. It has some connect questions there. Like, I think the first question is, what are you grateful for in the past week? I think the second one, hey, what are you struggling with in your life? Or, and that sort of just opens up the opportunity to pray for you specifically. We have 2 times when we meet in that space, we have 2 times to pray. We pray for each other specifically. And then I think the third accountability question is basically, what have you put into practice from our last meeting, or what have you applied? How's that been going? And then we go into our new reading, like our read a Bible story in the Gospel of Mark, and then we reread it again. Maybe a different person reading, and then somebody else will retell. So it's a very simple way. And then we just have a couple of questions. The first question is, what did you like or didn't like about the story? The second one, is there anything that you didn't understand about the story? The third one, what did you learn about God? God the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? The next question is, what did you learn about people? And then the last two is basically, what can we apply? What can we draw out from this story? And then the last one is, what are you willing to put into practice? And so it's those two that we keep each other accountable. So I think at this stage, we're still trying to sift through our discipleship track or our process. But I think that we're all on the same page, is that we want people to be committed to Jesus, the man, his mission and message. That is when we bring people to Jesus, that's what we want them to. And then we say, hey, we haven't fully developed it, but I think we're going to go to the next level. And we're going to do like what we call a HEAR journal, HEAR. So basically and we're looking at the 28 fundamentals. For example, if we're looking at the Sabbath, we pick out 5 key stories of the Sabbath. But it's a thing that they have to do daily. So when we come back together, the idea is this. Each person will share what they want to share from their Discover journal or their HEAR journal. What has God impressed? So number one, we're putting it back on the Holy Spirit as the teacher. Our job is just to facilitate. So there's nothing great about the questions, it's what they discover. And I guess, this is where we sort of can help to clarify things if they don't fully understand it. But it's just a simple understanding. So it's the key thing is that's only one part of doing life together. Discipleship is, we catch up in other spaces. So we intentionally want to make it small. We didn't want to make it big because the idea is that, yep, we're going to meet in this space for an hour, but there is also times where we'll catch up for lunch or catch up for a hot drink or have a veggie burger or whatever the case may be.
All right. So probably wind down here in another minute or two, but so talk to us. I know, you know, we don't necessarily worry about counting numbers and all that, but you do have people, quite a few people leaning into and a part of this process.
Well, actually, I was going to bring up that idea. We had about 60 to 70 regularly attending our worship, but we felt that that wasn't the right thing to be counting, and that whole discipleship mentality really kicked in, and we thought, man, we're not trying to get... Our aim is not to get people to a worship service.
Yeah, exactly.
Our aim is to disciple people, and that's something that we if we did it again, we would have been a stronger emphasis on it. We rushed early to a worship service, and we would have held off and done more life with people in deeper groups and discipled people. And so now our measuring, and Francis can speak openly to that, is you talk about measurement and success based on how many people are being discipled now. I mean, sometimes people want to know, oh, how many people are you actually at your church? Mm-hmm. You go, well, why do you want to know that? We'll tell you how many people are being discipled. And so we're trying to change the measuring of success versus going, because we could rent a crowd. The irony is our church is actually 200 metres away from two Adventist churches.
Right.
But they're Samoan churches, they're ethnic churches that only reach the one particular culture. So we're not about trying to build that worship setting up. I mean, I was saying to Francis earlier this morning that we want worship to become a natural response from the work that we do in discipleship and in ministry. So we want... Often we make worship as itself a ministry.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, I play guitar for the band, like, which is a good thing, but that's worship. That's not ministry. And the ministry is what are you doing, who are you doing life with, and what are you doing for others? And then you celebrate that at your worship time. And that's what that's why these discipleship groups become the new measuring tool for how we view the success of what we're doing. I mean, you've got, what, 5-6 groups down there?
So we have about, I think, 6 life groups at the moment, and they're all meet at McDonald's and homes, and I try to challenge them to meet in those public spaces. There's something about meeting in public spaces, because you're just engaged with the environment and the people that you're trying to... So even our core team meeting, we meet at McDonald's every Sunday night. You know, we have a happy meal together. We get all happy. We go, all right. I guess just for this next 6 months, this part of the year, just focusing on clarifying the direction so that in 2018 we're pretty much, you know, moving forward. So, yeah, we try to meet in a building, but in either unchurched people's homes or in public spaces.
Yeah, dude, awesome. You can hear, no doubt, the wonderful Australian woman in the background making an announcement for the camp. But you can probably also, listener, understand why these dudes inspire me, these mates inspire me. And it's really awesome to be able to listen and learn from them, because these guys are, they got a lot to teach me, in all honesty. We're trying to figure these things out as well. So, yeah, thanks, guys. It's been really, 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 really awesome. And I felt like I had another question, but the lady in the background has caused me to forget what that question was. So, but no, like you said, actually, this is what I was going to say. Mike Breen, have you read anything by him? Yeah. So he had this kind of, there's, along my journey, there's been like key little expressions that were kind of like, oh, like aha moments. You know, one of them was, most people, when they talk about planning a church, talk about what they really mean is planning a worship service. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to do that. And then Mike Breen said, when you make disciples, you always get the church. But if you try to make a church, you probably won't get disciples. So it sounds like you guys have discovered that as well. So thank you, gentlemen, Francis and Lachlan. It's been so awesome. And you guys inspire me. And so all the best to you as you continue on your journey of mission and discipleship. And we'll look forward to meeting up with you guys again soon. Hopefully, maybe back over on the other side, over in the States.
Yeah,
sweet. So thanks a lot, guys, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to Mission Lab. Our theme song is Portland Hike by Tiny Music. Additional editing by Chris Ergang. Follow us on Twitter at MLabPodcast.